Hello, it's Luca J here again with another episode of JagCast. Today we'll be interviewing my father on his immigration story from Israel. I know you were very young when you immigrated, but do you remember anything about that experience?
Is that my parents, probably most pushed by my father, wanted to leave Israel and start a new life in Canada. So he packed us up, and I don't think they sold their house at the time, because I remember years later that they sold it. Mm-hmm. But it was my mom, my dad, myself, and my twin brother, who were very young. And we moved from Nazareth to Ottawa, Canada, where my father left. My parents left. And we moved into an apartment in Ottawa. They went there to start a new life, and the reasons being, I guess it's kind of like that typical immigrant dream of, I want better for my kids than I had for myself. So they left a small country where, at least to them, the outside seemed very limited, and went to Canada, where he had a sister who had moved maybe 10 years prior. So they went to Ottawa, and I think we lived there for about 9 months because my father couldn't find a job. My mother was home with the kids. Shortly thereafter, 9 months later, we ended up moving to Toronto, a suburb of Toronto called Etobicoke, where they settled into an apartment near the airport on a street called Dixon Road. And my father went to work as a accounts payable clerk. His background is accounting. So that's the short version of it.
What was, like, the main motivation to move from Israel to Canada? Were there any, like, main specific things?
I don't know if there's anything specific. I think it was after the Six-Day War, which, I think it was 1967, was the Six-Day War. So this was probably about eight years later. 1970, oh no, maybe longer.
77?
10 years later, 77. And, you know, I don't know, I never asked my father specifically. I think the answers they always gave were pretty general. It's just immigrating to somewhere new. It's like the typical immigrant dream of going to a new country where it seemed like the opportunities were richer.
After my dad and his family came to Canada, they had only a couple struggles, mostly being language and cultural differences that we will talk about more later, but it was really hard for them to learn the English because both of his parents didn't speak it, so they learned it from watching TV, like Sesame Street, but his parents never really learned it as well. He also says,
mother never quite felt like she connected with Canadian people, so assimilating with a different culture was a bit of a challenge in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were so young that it didn't take a long time, but I do remember not understanding some of the nuances that other kids did, whether it was jokes or culture or TV or sports. You know, we never watched sports. It was a very sports heavy culture in Canada, especially hockey. We didn't know anything about hockey.
Interestingly, the next question is, how did your family adapt to cultural differences in Canada?
They adapted very slowly, I think. You know, both of their English was not great at the time. And, you know, their social circles were still very much around people of their own culture. They ended up settling into a community of other Arab people. So their assimilation into Canadian culture was more very functional. It's just, how do you work? How do you get your groceries? How do you pay your bills? But as far as a social circle, I don't really remember my parents having a lot of quote unquote indigenous or any quote unquote Canadian friends. The people that they socialized with were people from back home. Okay. I remember.
Why did you move to Canada instead of a different country such as America or a European country?
I think probably because my father had a sister in Ottawa.
Okay, that makes
and
sense.
I think people tend to go where they feel like there are other people from their community. As you can see, like around the world, you know, like a lot of Indian people ended up in Brampton, in a suburb of Canada, in Ontario, where there were a lot of other Indian people. There were a lot of Arab people in Etobicoke and the surrounding areas. There was a big Arab community where they went.
Okay.
So I think that's why they picked Canada. It just seemed easy.
The podcast will continue after a short break. How did you guys get through the legal battle of acquiring a permanent residency?
I don't know that it was as hard back then. I think it was relatively procedural. I do remember going to a hearing in Canada as a young kid with a bunch of other immigrants, because there were Sikhs and Pakistani people and people that were very visible minorities that were all at this hearing getting sworn in as Canadian citizens. So I think I was naturalized at a young age.
School any different for other people around you, or was it the same? Like, as an immigrant, was it different?
Yeah, I guess there was parts of it where you felt like an outsider. I mean, we were from a place where there weren't many other people. I went to school with a lot of working class Italian families, so a lot of the kids were first generation. The parents spoke Italian at home and were Italian immigrants, so there was a very big community. They seemed more quote-unquote normal than we did. We were from a place where you had to explain to people who you were and where you were from. You didn't just say, oh, I'm Italian. You had to say where you're from, and a lot of people didn't really have any idea of what Israel was or that there were even non-Jewish people there. I don't even know if there was a real awareness of any of it.
Would you like to add anything on how immigration has affected your life? We go off topic right now. And we're going to talk about you immigrating from Canada to America.
Okay.
And I'd like to compare your immigration from Israel to Canada. I know it's hard since you're really young, but...
Yeah.
Like, how was immigrating from Israel different from immigrating from Canada to America?
That's a good question. Well... ironically, similar to my parents immigrating to Canada, from Israel, I moved our family, the time you mean mom, because you were just born, to the States for the sake of opportunity. You know, I had opportunities with my career and to do better in life than where I was. You know, I loved Canada. It was really easy. And the contrast is, I guess, coming somewhere as a child where you don't have a choice compared to an adult who's making all the choices, it's far, far different. So it's hard to compare the two. But if anything I can compare it to, I can compare it to my father making that decision versus me making the decision, or me and mom and I making the decision when we came. And those are similar. You know, I think mom was more emotionally attached to Canada. She was born there, her family is there, she's very close with her family. we had a very small family in Canada, and as much as my mom tried to sell us on being a close family, I think, you know, the internal desire to progress and proceed beyond where we were was very important to us, to me.
After my final question, I just asked if my dad could share anything about immigration that he knows.
I'm grateful that I've been able to live in two places that have offered me so many opportunities, both Canada and the United States, so that's all really good. I think people immigrate places because they're looking for better than what they have. You know, obviously every story is different. Some people immigrate because they have to. Some people are refugees. Some people are fleeing war or they're fleeing oppression. We are very lucky that all of our immigration stories were by choice. You know, maybe my parents felt like they were leaving a place that wasn't exactly for them. But I think at the end of the day, their decision was very, I think my father thinks the same. It's like their decision is very much based on like what's best for my family. And I think coming to Canada at the time was best for my father, our family. And, you know, coming here, we moved here, we literally packed 10 suitcases, and just moved into a rental. We never really quite moved. And then you cut to 10 years later and we're still here, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's all opportunity. I think you gotta keep your eyes open, have a good heart. No matter where you are, you can find joy and happiness and prosperity.
Thank you for listening to the Shagcast. There's a part two of the interview, so if you want to listen to it, keep listening. So earlier, you mentioned the Six-Day War, and I was wondering if your immigration had anything to do with it?
Oh, did my parents' immigration have anything to do with the Six-Day War? I have a feeling it was, I've never really been able to pin down my father about it to have a real conversation. But I think that given what his family went through from 1947, 1948 to 1967, 1970, it might have. I mean, he told me that in 1948, during that war, that his family loaded onto a bus to flee and were turned back. It was the only reason they didn't lose everything. You know, they were expelling Arabs from the region. And his father's family, part of his father's family, owned the transit system in Nazareth. So they loaded all the city buses with their family and were ready to flee to Egypt or to Lebanon, which is closer, the border was closer there. And they got to the end of the road and a soldier turned them back and said, go back to your homes, you'll be killed. It had to affect him. I mean, he, in 1967, he was probably 33, so not married, no kids yet. But his father, his mother had passed away already from a disease. So it was just he, his father, and his brother, and three sisters, five kids total. His father, that was 1948, his father went on to become the first mayor of Nazareth in the first Israeli government in 1955.
Oh, wow.
His father, Amin Jarjara, my name, was responsible for repatriating about 6,000 or 7,000 refugees back into the land, got them their homes back. So I think he went through a lot of trauma, and then obviously had some kids. His father passed away shortly after my brother and I were born, and I'm not sure he felt like he had a lot to stay for.
Okay.
And probably wanted to leave some of that behind, knowing his personality to a degree. Yeah. He wasn't a crusader like his father.
If you don't know what the Six-Day War, it was a war for Israel against a couple Middle Eastern countries. Israel won and gained 4 times their landmass and it was an overall victory for Israel, but it caused them to send Arabs out of the country.
So, how has not being Jewish affected your family in Israel?
You know, I don't think, my memories of being there, so I think I told you, so I visited a number of times. When I was 10 years old, I lived there for a year. And it was a much different place than what you see in the news now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot more, and I'm talking for the Israeli Arabs, the ones that lived in Israel proper. It seemed like it was okay, you know? I mean, every now and then, you heard about some kind of... let me take that back. Let me start over. Yeah, I think it was all right. I don't really remember a lot of, I guess as a kid, I don't remember a lot of, I don't remember anything really different from anybody else. I mean, my family intermixed with Jews and with Arabs and Christian Arabs and Muslim Arabs. I mean, my mom's family ran a big business, so, you know, they're relatively liberal people who had a lot of friends, and they had a lot of business associates and a lot of dealings in that way. So I don't remember any real setbacks. I do remember. I don't really remember any setbacks. That's just my own personal experience. It's not to say that I don't understand that there are now. I didn't experience them personally.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Okay.
Have a good day. Well, thank you to all my awesome listeners, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Sayonara, and see you on the next episode of JagCast. Bow, 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 bow. And remember, my name is Luca J.